This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Craig Norris, and I want to invite you to check out the R330. It's kind of like Quirks and Quarks, except I don't talk about space or science or anything like that. Instead, I play the week's best Canadian indie music. Head over to cbcradio3.com for all of the info.
Hello, and welcome to the Vinyl Cafe podcast. We publish a new podcast every weekend. You can download the latest or subscribe to the Vinyl Cafe podcast at cbc.ca/podcasting. This week on the show, the roller coaster.
So the town of Big Narrows in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, town where Dave grew up, was, when Dave was a boy, about as far away as you could get from anywhere, unless you left town. Not that there weren't plenty of places in town to keep a boy happy. There was the alley full of steam that ran alongside Art Gillespie's laundromat. Down by the river, there was the chair factory, and you could always find scrap wood there. And if you had money for ice cream in the summer, there was MacDonnell's post office and general store, which is where the kids went for candy, pop, and Mad Magazine. The teens went for smokes, and parents picked up the big city newspapers, the Glace Bay Coastal Courier, the Andy Ganish Sunday Casket. Big Narrows was off the main road, no doubt about it, still is. And that made it just about a perfect place to grow up. Though you'd never convince any of the kids of that. When you do your growing up in a place like the Narrows, where you know everything about everyone, and everyone thinks they know everything about you, you spend a lot of time dreaming of the places that you're going to go to the day you can finally swing clear of the school and clear over the moon. Dave dreamt of landing in Brooklyn, New York, home of the most famous amusement park in the world, Coney Island. When he got there, he was going to ride the roller coaster. He'd read about it in the Reader's Digest. He had read that the roller coaster at Coney Island went so fast it defied gravity. Billy Mitchell said astronauts used to go to Coney Island at night and practice on the thing. Billy and Dave had a plan to go the summer they were 15. They never made it, of course, and soon enough, life took over. To everything, there is a season. Dave missed the season of roller coasters, and he forgot about them for 30 long years. Until the leafy summer, his son Sam was 6, and Dave remembered. Which would have been fine, or should have been, except Sam, 6, was way too young for roller coasters, and Dave, who was old enough to know better, was way too keen. So off they headed to an amusement park. And when they got there, Sam took one look at the roller coaster, and he started to whimper. Dave said, "Come on, it'll be fun." Sam shook his head. Dave picked Sam up, more or less lovingly. And he held him close, and he began whispering calming, reassuring things. Sam seemed to relax a little, and Dave continued his supplications. "Look," said Dave, pointing at the roller coaster. "It'll be fun," said Dave. The people on the roller coaster were clinging to one another. A woman in the front was screaming. "No, no, no," said Sam. "No," said Sam. And then he collapsed into tears. And Dave's shoulders sagged. He knew it was time to concede defeat. And so he turned and he began to work his way back down the line. "Excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me, please." And Sam, by now, was crying and thrashing and flailing about in Dave's arms. The crowd in front of him just parted. It was as if he was armed or something, which, in a way, he was. Dave and Sam spent the rest of the afternoon hiding out in Kiddie Land, a quiet and grassy oasis with a climber, a vinyl cage of colored balls, and a slide in the shape of an elephant. Sam played happily, while Dave sat morosely on the bench, pulling little bits of cotton candy out of the hairs on his legs. They went back to the amusement park the summer that Sam was 8. And this time, they were better prepared. They'd talked about roller coasters for weeks before they went. Sam was pumped. They lined up for 40 sticky minutes. And when they got to the front of the line, a man wearing a duck costume took one look at Sam, shook his head, and said, "Not tall enough." "What?" said Dave. 54 inches, said the man. "He's too short." People began to push past them, and they headed back to Kiddyland. On the way, Sam pointed to a ride. 6 giant bumblebees that went around in a small, slow circle. Sam said, "Can I try it?" He rode the bumblebees for half an hour. After half an hour, he staggered off the ride and said, "I don't feel too good." And then, one night this summer, Sam said, "I still haven't been on a roller coaster." They went back to the park again, just the two of them, just 2 weeks ago. They arrived at 6:30. The sun was beginning to dip. It was the perfect time to be coming as the day was going. They bought a big roll of tickets. The park was full, just as it should be, thought Dave. You wouldn't want the place to yourself. Diving into the crowd was like shoving a canoe into a stretch of whitewater. The crowd picked you up and carried you along. Somewhere, mixed with the noise of the crowd and the ringing bells, somewhere floating above the red and yellow flashing lights, Dave could hear Cream singing "The Sunshine of My Love" through a cheap PA. It took them 20 minutes to get to the roller coaster, and when they got there, Dave saw, to his distress, that a lot had happened in the world of roller coaster design over the last 40 years. They were standing in front of the Hypergeist, a roller coaster which the sign said would exert a force of 4.2 Gs as it tossed and flipped its way through 2 loops and a corkscrew. There was a very young guy with long hair and a ring through his eyebrows slouched against a control panel. He looked bored and inattentive. While Dave gave him his tickets, he said, "Has anyone ever had an accident on this ride?" "Not that I've ever noticed," said the kid. Sam said, "Let's go." There was a big sign. Dave grabbed Sam by the shoulder and held him back. He said, "Just a minute." Dave wanted to read the sign. "Do not speak to the operator," said the sign. "Do not walk on the track. Do not put your arms outside the car. Do not ride if you're pregnant. Do not ride if you suffer from heart palpitations, vertigo, high blood pressure, atrial fibrillation, night sweats, anxiety disorder, or peanut allergy." "Come on," said Sam. Dave said, "Just a minute." Dave kept reading. "This ride may cause shortness of breath, excessive sweating, and dry mouth." Dave's tongue was sticking to the roof of his mouth. "Some people may experience nausea, confusion, disorientation, muscle twitches, or an overwhelming desire to urinate." Dave began bobbing up and down slowly. "Do not go on this ride if you have silver amalgam fillings, or worry about going mad, or have had precognitive experiences that involve hurtling to your death in an amusement park while trapped in a little car that leaves the rails and you didn't have to go if you didn't want to. And that will be your last thought." "Come on," said Sam. I'm not sure I can do this, said Dave. Oh, brother, said Sam. And for the third time in their lives, Dave and Sam slunk out of line. As they passed a group of staring teenagers, Sam muttered, they won't let him on the ride. He's pregnant. What is the problem? Said Sam. I can't do this, said Dave. They were sitting on a park bench. They were eating cotton candy. They were passing a pop back and forth. Sam said, it's normal to be afraid. You're supposed to be afraid. You aren't going to die. You can't die. Dave thought, sometimes people die. Sam said, not here, not tonight. That would be ridiculous. What are you afraid of? They finished their candy. They finished their pop. Dave said, I don't know what I'm afraid of. I'm just afraid. Sam stood up and he held out his hand. Dave said, go without me. You go and I'll watch. Sam said, I have a better idea. Okay, said Dave. Sam said, do you trust me? What could he say to that? He nodded his head. Sam said, good, okay. Stand up and close your eyes. Promise me you won't open them until I tell you. Dave stood up and he closed his eyes. And Sam took his father's hand. Dave said, if I die, I'm going to kill you. Sam said, just don't open your eyes. And Sam led him through the park, through the bumps and the bells and the screams, and Dave didn't open his eyes, not once. It was very, very hard. But Dave kept his promise and his eyes closed. And then they stopped walking. And Dave heard Sam walk up to a ticket taker and stop and say, my father needs help. He's blind. Now Dave really wanted to open his eyes. But now he couldn't. Now he had to keep them closed because the man had him by the elbow and the man was helping him into a seat. As he sat down, Dave put out his hand and felt the seat and, oh my God, he wanted to look so badly. But the man was right there. He could feel his breath on his neck. He could sense him reaching across him. He was fastening a seatbelt. He could sense Sam sitting beside him. He could sense the car was starting to move. Sam said, are you scared? Dave said, yes, I'm scared, but it's okay. Sam said, don't be afraid. They were moving slowly. Dave said, can I open my eyes? Sam said, not yet. They were picking up speed. I can feel it, said Dave. And then Sam said, okay, now. And Dave, who had been clutching the bar in front of him, didn't open his eyes right away. Instead, he lifted his hands off the bar and he held his arms over his head, just like he saw people doing in pictures when they were in roller coasters. He held his hands up in the air and he yelled like those people. He yelled as loud as he could, "Aya!" Then he opened his eyes and saw he was in the giant bumblebee ride. And Sam was sitting beside him with his head in his hands. And there was a group of adults, people who he had never seen before in his life. And every time they went by them, the adults would wave. Sam said, put your hands down. Dave said, What are we doing? Sam said I was conditioning you. They got off the ride and they went into the Giggle Palace. And they stood in front of the funhouse mirrors. Sam's mirror stretched him tall and impossibly thin. Dave's made him look like a little dwarf toad. Perfect, thought Dave. He couldn't say when it had happened, but he wasn't going to deny it. He couldn't keep up with his children anymore. He felt like he had to run just to keep up these days, and even though he was running as fast as he could feel himself slipping behind. His children were passing him on the highway of life, and this was just another milestone. And soon there would be plenty more. And that wasn't the worst part. One day, before he knew it, he'd have to pull over and wave goodbye. Sam would leave him behind. Okay, said Dave, let's do it. Are you sure, said Sam? No, said Dave, but let's do it anyway. And so off they headed, across the park for the second time that night, back to the lineup they had quit three times now. As they came abreast of the warning sign, Dave said, I'm just going to shut my eyes for a moment and go to my happy place. And that's what he did. And Sam led him along the line, talking to him all the time. When we get there, look at the track in front of you. It'll make you feel balanced. And if you start to feel queasy, push your right foot down onto the floor and grab the bar like a steering wheel and pretend you're driving it. Dave opened his eyes and looked at his son. How do you know this stuff? Sam said, I got it online. Dave said, you researched this? Sam shrugged. I figured you might need some help. Before Dave knew it, they were climbing into the roller coaster. Sam turned and looked at his father earnestly. Remember, he said, you only have to do this once. Dave said, is that from the net too? Sam nodded, yep. You can repeat it to yourself if it helps. And then a heavy padded bar fell across Dave's lap, and he felt a rush of panic. He didn't have choice anymore. I only have to do this once. He looked at Sam. Sam gave him the thumbs up, and then the train started to move. The track was rising in front of them. They were climbing a huge hill. It was so steep they began to tilt backwards, slower and slower, way back. Dave nodded. Dave closed his eyes. I only have to do this once. I only have to do this once. And then they got to the top of the hill. And then they crested the hill. And then they were plunging to the ground, and Dave could feel himself coming right out of his seat. He was airborne, and oh my God, he was upside down. He was right side up. He was coming. He was going. He looked at Sam. Sam's hair was pressed against his head by the wind. Sam looked like a dog with his head out of a car window. Somebody was screaming. Somebody was screaming from the pit of their stomachs. The screams sounded horrible. Dave opened his mouth to ask Sam if he was okay, and he realized his mouth was already open. Realized he was the guy screaming. It had begun as a scream of terror. But it was different now. It wasn't a scream of terror anymore. It was a scream of unadulterated joy. Sam was screaming too, the two of them screaming like fools. And then Sam lifted his hands and held them over his head. And he turned to his dad and he said, now. Dave was clutching the padded bar. He had his foot pushed into the floor. I can't, he said. I'm driving. And then it was over. Just like that. Just like that. Around a corner, and they pulled into the station. And Sam held his hand up, and Dave uncurled his fingers from the bar one by one, and he high-fived his son. And Sam said, how do you feel? And Dave said, like a kid. Then he said, Can we do it again? On their way out of the park, they walked by a merry-go-round, a beautifully restored carousel of the old style, painted wooden ponies with genuine leather reins. Dave held up the last of their tickets. Come on, he said. No way, said Sam. So Dave went along. It was late, and he was the only person on the ride. He chose a big white horse, frozen on its brass pole, its wild mouth tossing backwards. As the ride began, Dave looked at all of the empty horses in front of him and beside him, all the horses going up and down, the calliope playing, and the horses going up and down, and the carousel spinning around like a record player. It was like the gallop of his life. It was like his life, galloping all alone to a place that was out there somewhere, but kept fading into the distance the closer he got. Around and around he went. And that was when he realized he had been wrong. He had been wrong at the Hall of Mirrors. Well, partly wrong. He was falling behind. He'd got that part right. But Sam wasn't going to leave him behind. Sam wasn't going to leave him on the sidelines. His son was hurtling into the future, no doubt about it. But Dave wasn't being left behind. He was being dragged along with him. This was the future. This moment and all the others. It was the way it had been ever since Sam was born. Sam was opening life to him. Sam had taught him more than he would ever teach his son. Around and around, up and down, Sam was leaning on the fence watching his father. And each time Dave passed him, Dave waved like a kid. And Sam shook his head, embarrassed. Dave would come into sight and wave and then disappear again as the carousel carried him out of sight, smiling as he rode on his silly wooden horse, smiling and waving and above all, happy. Thank you.
That's Stuart McLean, and that's from the Vinyl Cafe. You can find out more about the Vinyl Cafe at vinylcafe.com.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.